We're going to commence our evening gospel hour by the singing of the hymn 402. If you're not familiar with the hymn book, you'll find that on the page 339. Jesus, what a friend of sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. After we have the introduction, we'll stand together as we worship the Lord, please.
Thank you.
be seated. That's tremendous singing. And it's great singing because of the one we worship, we adore, and praise the Lord tonight for the one who is the only Savior of sinners. And we can say and sing with great confidence, hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's bow together in prayer. I'm going to take time just to still our hearts before the Lord in His presence, praying that the Lord will come, reveal Himself to each one. Maybe you're not accustomed to praying, not used for prayer. Well, even as we bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord, you can just pray inwardly, Lord, speak to my heart this evening. Speak to me. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we wait on before Thee in Thy secret presence. We come tonight to adore and to worship Thee afresh. And Father, we rejoice tonight in the one who is the friend of sinners. We would have to say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. And our God, tonight we come as a congregation of Thy people and we bow in Thy secret presence. And Lord, we ascribe to Thee all the praise, the honor, and the glory. How we thank Thee for the many in this congregation who can testify to the Lord moving and working in their heart. That time in their life's experience when they knelt at the foot of the cross, when they were reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come this evening with thankfulness, with praise, and with joy. For all the Lord hath done for me, I will never cease to praise Him. We ask, Lord, that that spirit of thankfulness and appreciation will be a characteristic in all of our hearts and lives. That we'll know the experience each day of the joy of the Lord that is our strength, flooding our soul. We ask, Lord, that we will constantly ever lift our hearts to Thee in worship, adoration, and praise, and that we might continually bless Thy name. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. We want to thank Thee, O gracious God, for the song of the soul set free, for that new song that Thou hast placed within our mouths and upon our hearts. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. We rejoice that Thou hast taken away the old, empty, vain song of the world and given us even that new song, that praise unto our God. And Lord, tonight we are truly indebted to Thee for all that we possess in Christ. We want to once again remember each and every head bowed in Thy presence, every home that is represented. And our Father, it is our desire that each one will know the blessing of the triune God of heaven. We pray for any gathered with us who as yet do not know and love the Lord, who are not saved. Lord, reveal Christ to them this evening. Whatever it is that binds and hinders them and keeps them from the cross, Father, we pray in the Savior's name that Thou wilt sweep away their refuge of lies. Lord, may they look to Jesus Christ and live. And how we bless Thee that Thou art ever near and nigh unto them that call upon Thee. We thank Thee, O God, for another opportunity afforded to us to meet together in such fashion. Thank Thee for this gospel service. And we would ask, Lord, that right through the whole meeting, that much will be made of Christ in the offering of praise, in the singing of the hymns, in the reading of Scripture, in the preaching of Thy Word, in everything. May the Lord Jesus Christ alone have the preeminence. Turn our eyes upon the Savior. We ask, O God, that Thou wilt remember those who are not able to join with us. Some laid aside with infirmities, sickness, some perhaps in hospital, others maybe waiting the results of tests. And we just ask that as Thy people, that Thou wilt draw near to such and grant grace and help in every time of need. We thank Thee, Lord, that this evening that we have one who cares, who understands. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the sympathizing Jesus. And, O God, it is our desire that as thy people, that we might ever rest upon the Lord. We ask for comfort for those that mourn. We pray that thou wilt draw near to such, and grant, Lord, that thy people will know that divine enablement and help. They'll know that grace, that abundance of grace in their time of special need. Bless thy servant, the Reverend Park, as he preaches thy word in Newton Arts this evening. Grant that he will return home rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Grant to him to taste of the soul winner's wine afresh, that he'll have the joy of pointing a dear soul to Christ. And Lord, what we pray for thy servant, we ask, Lord, that thou wilt grant here this evening, come and visit us. Come and stand in our very midst. O God, we would ask that we might know what it is to experience that old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting where God comes in, grant conviction of sin, and Lord, grant that thou wilt speak to hearts, bring the wandering one to Christ. Lord, have mercy upon us. We pray that thou wilt come in every part of our public worship service. Grant that the name of Christ alone will be uplifted and glorified. Hear prayer this evening, where thy word is faithfully declared throughout the length and breadth of this country and further afield. God, grant that as the old evangel goes forth, that many will be the slain of the Lord, and by faith many will come to Christ. Hear and answer prayer. Continue with us as we further wait in thy presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to further worship the Lord, turning to 334 in our hymn books, found on the page 312. Great gospel hymn that was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day. Once again, after the introduction, we'll stand together as we worship the Lord, please. Turn in our Bibles this evening for our scripture reading. We're turning to the Gospel of John and to the chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we're going to commence the reading at the first verse in the chapter. Reading from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 14, praying that the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts this evening for Jesus' sake. I'm going to ask one of the elders now, our brother, Mr. Jonathan McCauley, to come, and he's going to bring us the forthcoming announcements. Thank you, John.
Well, first of all, can I give everybody a very warm word of welcome? It's good to see so many gathered out tonight. And for anybody that is a visitor, we give you a very special word of welcome tonight to your meeting. We hope you feel at home. And most of all, we pray that tonight, that if anybody in the meeting's not saved, that even tonight will be the night of their salvation. We also welcome back to our pulpit tonight our brother Chris Killam. We really enjoyed the word to our hearts this morning, and we give thanks to God for Chris. We thank God for the day that he saved him and he changed him. He became a new creature, and we look forward to him coming tonight and bringing God's word. We may even ask just now that every Christian in the meeting would pray for Chris, pray that God will do a work tonight in hearts. The announcements are as follows. Refreshments will be served after the evening service. The Home Mission Outreach envelopes are also due in today. We encourage anybody to stay for tea tonight after the meeting. You'll be very welcome. Just remember the Reverend Park in prayer as he preaches in Newton Ards tonight, that God will be glorified and honoured in his preaching. Monday, the parent and toddlers we'll meet here at 10 a.m. Tuesday night, again, it's the Youth Challenge Children's Meeting at 7. Thursday night, the midweek service. And this week, there'll be a home mission report from our brother, Alex Bernobeo. and there'll be special prayer for missionary work and revival. Friday night, our youth fellowship will go to the youth council evening of prayer at 8 o'clock, and the buses will leave the church car park at 7. Then next Lord's Day, as usual, the early morning prayer meeting at 8 a.m., and I would encourage everybody to try and get out to that time of prayer. That's one of my favourite times of prayer, and we had a good crowd out this morning, and the Lord has answered prayer there, and we would encourage you, if you can, to come to that early time of prayer. The Sabbath school is the normal time of 10:45, the Bible class 11 a.m., and the worship service at 12 noon is our own pastor, the Reverend David Park. Then at night, it's the family night service, a special service, so try and invite your friends and your neighbours in, and the testimony will be our sister Vanessa Bernabeu. I've got a wee preview of this because I heard her testifying in the youth fellowship, and it was very, very interesting, and I'd encourage you to invite people to come and hear. And then her husband, Alex, will be preaching that night. And also the dedication service of Ezra Higgerty. And obviously that's all preceded by our normal time of prayer at half past six. Then some dates for your diary. The Sabbath School Social will be on Saturday the 21st of March. The Creation Conference on Saturday the 4th of April. And the speaker then will be our brother Paul Taylor from the USA. Our annual Bible conference is from the 19th to the 24th of April, and the speaker at that time will be our brother, Pastor Dennis Lyle, speaking on the subject of problems on the pathway of life. Missionary Council weekend from the 20th to the 22nd of November, and application forms are at the back of the church if you want to apply for that. Congratulations to Alex and Ruth Moffat on the birth of their wee baby daughter Bella, and as Phil spoke on this morning of the complications on that wee child's life, we are glad that God has been working and healing her, and we'll just ask the congregation to continue to pray for wee Bella. We look forward to her full recovery and her coming even to know Christ as her Saviour very soon. And then the normal prayer requests are at the bottom of the sheet, and I'll not take time to go through them, but we just ask you to continue to remember those that are sick and those that are in need in prayer. These are all the announcements, and always subject to the will of God. Thank you.
I do want to thank our brother Jonathan very much for the words of welcome. Thank you, Minister, for the invitation to come and to share in your services today. Once again, thank you for your prayers and your support as we seek to serve the Lord. We're just going to turn in our hymn books, please, for our offering hymn to the hymn 394. Just ask you to remain seated as the offering is received for the work of the Lord. 394, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace of joy sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Turning back in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John, the chapter 10. The words of verse 10. We read here in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." This evening, as we consider this verse, I am going to relate some parts of my own testimony and the dealings of God with my own soul and that new life in Christ. Let's just bow briefly and momentarily in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise Thee this evening for Thy precious word, for the oracles of God, this more sure word of prophecy. We praise Thee tonight for Thy word that liveth and abideth forever. Lord, speak to each one who is gathered. Grant that there will be a very clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. We would desire, Lord, that above all, Thou wilt turn all of our hearts and our minds and our focus upon the Savior. Grant that we will see the Lord. Speak to each one who is gathered. Lord, as our faces differ, we've often thought, so do our needs. Hear and answer prayer this evening, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. There certainly was a very diverse gathering of people who came to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ as He preached the Word of God. That crowd of people, or the crowds, consisted of people from all backgrounds and walks of life. Some came to where Christ was because they'd heard about the miracles. And they came, I suppose, with that expectation of hoping to see one personally. Perhaps as they came to where Christ was, they would see Him touch a lame man and make him whole, or make the blind to see. And that was their purpose in coming. There were others who came before the Lord, and that was because they were really curious. They'd heard about the Son of God. They'd heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. But they wanted to hear Him personally with their own ears and see Him with their own eyes. Then, of course, there were some who came before the Lord, and they were curious about spiritual matters. We read about a rich young ruler who came at the right time of life. The best time to seek after the things of God is when you're young. And that young man came inquiring after eternal matters. However, amongst the crowds of people who came were the Pharisees, the religious leaders who would make up that gathering. Their motivation and their reason for coming was quite different. They came in the main to find fault. They came to criticize and to condemn the blessed Son of God. They falsely accused Him of many things, including blasphemy, doing the work of the devil. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, on numerous occasions, specifically upbraided the religious sect of the Pharisees for their hypocrisy and their erroneous teaching. You see, the Pharisees were filled with self-righteousness. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus, speaking to the multitudes who were gathered round about Him, said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's because their righteousness, what they possessed, was in effect not righteousness at all. It didn't make them right with God. It was self-proclaimed. It was empty. It was false. There was a time whenever the Lord Jesus healed the young man who was possessed of the devil, an evil spirit, the blind and dumb spirit. And the Pharisees, they accused the Lord Jesus of doing the devil's work, of casting out Beelzebub through the devil. The Lord Jesus responded to them, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And putting it very simply, he was saying to them, you're just showing your true nature. There has been no inward change of heart. You may profess to know God. You may say that you worship God, but inwardly, there has been no change. You're in your sins, and you're full of hypocrisy. You're just like those whited sepulchres, the places, of course, where the dead were placed. The Lord Jesus spoke very powerfully, clearly, to that religious sect. Of course, he spoke with words of great authority. Speaking about them, he said, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into ditch." You see, here were these religious leaders, supposedly, but they didn't know God. They were full of their own righteousness and self-righteousness and pride. Bad enough as that was, but here they were, and they were leading others in darkness instead of leading them to God. Whenever we turn to the passage here in John chapter 10, we find that here the Lord Jesus was, in the main, speaking about the false teaching, the deception of the Pharisees. The words of John chapter 10 and the verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy," are oftentimes used and employed to speak about the work of the devil. After all, Satan is a thief. He does rob. He does steal. He does kill. He does destroy. We only have to look around us, and we see that in the world in which we live. You think of the lengths of people, for instance, will go to, and I've experienced this personally and also with those I work with, in addiction. A person never intending or meaning to end up at that place. We only have to look out upon society tonight and we see the handiwork of the devil. And that is not a pretty picture. With great effect, he entices and he attracts young people into worldly vices. The drinking, the drugs, and all of those things. So there is that sense in which verse 10 here can be used with application reference to the devil. However, in its context, these words are not used to describe the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy," he was specifically speaking about the Pharisees. That's who he was referring to. He was referring to the Pharisees as being robbers, thieves, those who sought to destroy the truth. Their false teaching, their false doctrine that kept men and women in bondage. When we read the preceding chapter, the chapter 9, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ had healed a man that was born blind. And of course, as the story unfolds, we find there that the Pharisees in particular, they sought to discredit the Savior and his work and the healing of this man. And the Lord Jesus rebuked their sinful, their wicked ways. And he went on then to describe and to outline how he has indeed come into the world to save men from their sin. He's come to transform lives. He is the one who is the good shepherd. He's come to do men good. He's come, of course, to give man life, spiritual life. He spoke of this in the verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. This evening, I want us to look at this life in Christ that we read about here in verse 10. Consider with me here the source of this life. We read here, I am come that they might have life. The Lord Jesus here in the chapter refers to the parable of the shepherd and the sheepfold. We read about that in verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not those what things they were with he spake unto them. Now, to really understand that parable, we have to, in a sense, visit the east in our minds with the workmanship of the shepherd there and the sheep, very different from the shepherd here in Northern Ireland. The shepherd who would lead his sheep out, who would go before them, who would call them by name. The sheep then following him, of course, here in our own country, the shepherd will go after him and he will drive the sheep, not so in the east. The shepherd, him caring for them and tending for them, would bring them at eventide into a sheep pen, a sheepfold. Oftentimes a circular building with the walls built up. And there, as he would bring the sheep in and care for them, he would then sit at the door. He became the door. The only way possible into the sheepfold was through him, and the only way out. He would guard, he would protect, he would guide the sheep. He would look after them. Lord Jesus Christ is the one true door into the sheepfold. I am the door. Can I say, men and women, tonight, there is only one way to know God. There is only one door into eternal life. There is only one door into salvation, and that is through Christ. There are not many doors. There are not two doors. There is just one door. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the door. Christ is the source. He is a fountainhead of all blessing. I am come, he said, that they might have life. Now, that's very clear. It's unmistakable. You see, man by his nature does not have life. Now, of course, we're not speaking about physical life, but spiritual life. The Lord Jesus Christ was stating, I am come that you might have spiritual life, because man is spiritually dead. As a young man growing up in a home where my mother was saved when I was just 8 years of age, she taught and told me the way of salvation, and she instructed me about the ways of God. And I knew from a very young age that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet, sadly and tragically, though I knew the way to life and was told it and was presented with it, I chose to go my own pathway. I went my own direction. You see, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And sadly and tragically, I didn't listen to my parents, my mom in particular. Things were so bad in the home that my father, on one occasion, in fact, not one occasion, but many occasions, spoke to me about my behavior, my conduct. In fact, I remember on one occasion he said to me, you're a mistake. You shouldn't be here. You're the cause of all the unhappiness in the home. I wish You were never born. And I can tell you that I remember his words very clearly. It shouldn't be a strange thing that all the things that my mother said in my teenage years, I don't remember. I remember affectionately her love and kindness. But what I do remember are those words that my father spoke, because they've left an impression. We need to be very, very careful as parents with our words. But here I was, a young man, and I was looking for life, but sadly and tragically, I was looking in the wrong place. Perhaps you've come to the meeting tonight. You're searching, and you're looking. Perhaps you've been looking for life, but you've been looking in other means, in other places, in other vices. For me, it started off with just a cigarette. Then it was a glass of beer. Smoke of dope, and then further and further down the road, never intending to make a mess of my life. You see, nobody sets out to become addicted. Nobody means to lose control. There is that within us when we think, oh, well, I'm large enough, I'm big enough, I can control my own self. We don't like to think of ourselves as being weak. And sadly, my life was on a downward spiral. I was spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. There are many terms that are used in Scripture to describe the natural state of man, to describe man when he's born into the world. And by the way, that word man is used in a generic sense. It's referring to both male and female, to man and woman. Man, by very nature, he is unclean. He is unrighteous. He's unjust. He's spiritually blind. He's perishing. He's under condemnation. He's living without hope. Oh, I can tell you what it was like to live without hope. Nineteen years of age. I could see no hope. No future. No change. With a 2-week old baby just born, my life hit what should have been a really joyous time. But for me, it was a really big low. And the thought was, you know, you've made a mess of your own life. Don't affect anybody else, especially this little girl. You see, the devil, he is very subtle in his approach. He never shows you, a young person, he never shows you the end result. I get to see that daily. And that is heartbreaking. Never meant to end up in this place. I never dreamt of becoming an addict. I never thought I would come to this position. Tonight I can testify to God's mercy. The Lord not giving to me what I deserve. Judgment and hell and punishment. And here you are tonight in the house of God. You're in the land of the living. Perhaps even unknown to you, you've been closer to death than you've ever imagined or realized, and yet God has you here. We are sinners by birth, nature, and practice. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the source of all life. That's why he came into the world. He said, I am come that they might have life. Man does not have life. He needs spiritual life. He needs to know God. The Lord Jesus Christ came to pay the price for our sin, to offer himself as that supreme sacrifice in our place, our substitute. Life alone is in Jesus Christ. You know, when I think about it, all the years, right throughout my teenage years, I was searching and I was on a quest. And you know, at times I thought I had it worked out. What's life all about? The purpose to life? Why am I here? All those great questions of life. I thought, well, the purpose to life is life's what you make it. How often do we hear that? Life's what you can get out of it. Life's who you become. Like so many, I was just deceived and I was wrong. Life is not found in the things of the world. It's not found in the pleasures of the world. Salvation is in a person. It's in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the source of all spiritual life. When I think of where my life was, it was a complete mess. I was talking to one of the men in New Hope the other day. I was down on Thursday doing a Bible class with them, and then we had a testimony time. Then the men had, we had a time of prayer, and it was wonderful to hear men there praying and seeking God, and men whose lives were wrecked by addiction and drugs and things of the world, and now they're in freedom, and they just love the Lord. One of the men turned to me and he said, you know, isn't it just wonderful what God does with a life? Here we are. And he says he takes a mess, and he makes it a message. Such is a transformation. You've been looking, been seeking, but you've been looking for life in the wrong place. The source of this life. There's also the scope of this life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life. Here the Lord Jesus speaks about those sheep who would come into his sheepfold. He's come that man without God, man who stands as a sinner condemned, that man who is at enmity, at war against God, that man can know God and be reconciled to God. You see, the scope of that life includes the whosoever. That means you. And praise God, it also includes me. Roland Hill was a powerful preacher. While preaching in a park in London to a large assembly, a lady by the name of Lady Anne Erskine was passing by. When she saw the crowd gathering, listening to the preacher, she asked her footman, who is that and what's the event taking place? And he said, ma'am, that's the preacher, Roland Hill. Well, she said, I want you to stop the carriage that I may listen. She'd heard a good deal about him, and she asked her coachman to actually bring the carriage right up near the platform so she could hear him. Roland Hill, on seeing the carriage approach, he noticed the insignia, and he asked, who is that in the carriage? Sir, it's Lady Anne Erskine of nobility. Then he'd done something that was quite unusual. There, as he looked out upon the crowd and the gathering, he said, stop, my friend, stop. I have something that I want to auction. Now, the idea of a preacher suddenly becoming an auctioneer caused a dead silence to fall upon the gathering. He said, I have more to auction and to sell than the crown of Europe. I wish to auction the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. Is there anyone who will bid for her soul? He then said, to which I hear a reply, it is a call and it is a bid of the world. Oh, I hear your bid, world, to give her pomp and vanities of this present life, to make her a happy woman. You tell her that she will be rich. She will have many admirers. And she will go through this many joys. And here he is conducting this auction. He says, but world, you will not have her, for her soul is an everlasting thing. It is a poor price that you are offering. You're only given a title. And what shall it profit her if she shall gain the whole world and lose her own soul? Is there another bid? Can I hear someone bid for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine? Oh, I hear another bid coming in. I hear another call. This time, it is the devil. He stands forth and bids. I will let her enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. She shall indulge in everything that her heart desires and wants and sets itself to. She shall have everything to delight the eye and the ear. She shall indulge in every sin and every vice that can possibly give her fleeting pleasure. But Satan, what will you do for her? Will not last forever. You shall not have her, for that is a very insignificant price for her. And her soul will be destroyed in eternity. But here comes another bid. Do I hear another? It is the blessed Lord Jesus. What will you give for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine? To which the Savior replies, it is not what I will give for her soul. It is what I have done for her soul. I have given my life, my blood. I have bought her with a price. I will give her heaven forever. I will give her grace in her heart, both now and throughout all eternity, endless glory. O Lord Jesus Christ, said Roland Hill, thou shalt have her. And then he turned to Lady Anne Erskine in the carriage, and he asked the question, Lady Anne Erskine, do you object to this bid for your soul? She was speechless. It's recorded that she got out of the carriage. She knelt down on her knees, cried to God for mercy. She became a friend and a help to those in sin, and a great ambassador for the gospel. From the very rich to the poor. From the up and out to the down and out. The message of the gospel, that good news that Christ saves to the uttermost, is presented to men and to women, to all. For whosoever will may come. The scope of this life. As a young man, 23 years of age, I lay in a hospital bed. My life wrecked through my sin, addiction. My life a complete mess. Surgeon who performed a lot of my surgeries came over to the bed where I was lying. I was waiting to go down for major surgery. And he found me broken and crying. He asked me why I was so troubled. He said, you know, you've faced surgeries lots of times. What are you afraid of? And I remember very clearly that I said to him, I'm afraid to die. You see, I was just surrounded, encompassed in darkness and blackness. It's not as though one sin or any part of my life stood out more than the other. I was just in darkness. Complete darkness. I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I was crying and broken like a child, crying my heart out. Tears were streaming in. And then I heard the sweetest, beautiful love story that ever mortal ears could hear. How the blessed Son of God, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world, lived a perfect life, did no sin, went to the cross at Calvary, there laid down his life, paid the price for sin, died in my place as my substitute, that I might know him and have eternal life. I turned to the surgeon who performed many operations. I said, you know, that's fair and well for somebody who has lived a good life. Not me. I was at the point where I genuinely, honestly believed God couldn't love me. Because my sin was just so wicked. And then he said to me, God hasn't just told you that he's loved you. He's proved it. Because he sent his son to die on the cross in your place. Well, I can tell you the way of describing it was as if my heart was taken and just broken into a multitude of pieces. To contemplate, to realize that the God of heaven, the creator of all things, the one that I had been fighting against and at war against, the one who I had rejected and been living without, that he loved me. I hadn't the strength to get out of bed. I simply bowed my head and I cried upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord saved me. What about you? Where do you stand with the Lord tonight? Do you know the Lord? Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Do you have the life that we're speaking about here? This life in Christ, eternal life, spiritual life. What keeps you from the Lord? When I consider my life at that time, it was just a broken mess, really was. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is that in Hebrews, the life of Rahab. We read about there, about Rahab, the harlot perished not with them that believe not. And it's as if God reaches into his treasure bag and he holds up this precious, rare jewel and gem. Here is my power. Here is my glory to save to the uttermost. Think of Rahab. She was right down in the depths. But I took that wasted, broken life and I made something beautiful with it. That's what the Lord does. That's what he does. Are you not tired of your sin tonight? I know I was. Tired of living the way. It wasn't life at all. All the while I was searching and looking, but I would never find it in the world. Because life is in Jesus Christ alone. The source of this life, the scope of this life, just in closing very briefly, the satisfaction of this life in Christ. He says, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. You see, Christ satisfies, he meets a need. What is that need? What is your greatest need? Man's greatest need is to know God. Man's greatest need is to prepare to meet God, to be saved. to a spiritual life, to be reconciled to God. Let me put it very simply. To have Jesus Christ as Savior is to have everything. For He is all you'll ever need. To know that you have been reconciled to God, that you're at peace with God, and you have the peace of God flooding your soul and the joy of God within your heart. It's everything. There I was searching, I was looking, I was trying to find. Then I came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. He is everything. You see, the Word of God tells us here is man that he's lost in his sin. But when the Lord finds him, he's no longer lost, he's found. You can be far away from God, but now you're reconciled to God. You can be dead in trespasses and sins, but made alive in Jesus Christ. You can be condemned and under God's wrath, as man is, but no longer under condemnation. You can be under sin's dominion and power. Become a servant of the living God, having no hope. Friend, is that the way you're living? You're living without God, without Christ, without hope? The Word of God speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a difference the gospel makes! What a difference Christ makes! It's a difference between life and death, heaven and hell, glory and despair. Christ is the difference. He is life. Life is found in Him alone. Abundant life. Life with purpose, meaning, joy, satisfaction. You see, Christ not only saves, but He satisfies. And what a blessing that is. Salvation is life more abundantly. When you have something in abundance, it means that you have it in plentiful provision, and everything that you need, everything that you will ever need, is found alone in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Is He your Savior? I would encourage you this evening, as we're encouraged in the Word of God and exhorted to do, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Is there a young man, a young woman here this evening? Sadly, you've been on a quest and you've been searching and you've been looking. You're looking for that satisfaction. You're looking for that joy. But you've been looking in the wrong place. Will you come to Christ? Will you call upon Him? Trust and pray that you will. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts this evening for Jesus' sake. I'm going to bow together in a word of prayer as time has gone, committing our way to the Lord. Perhaps you're troubled about your soul. God's been speaking to your heart. Speak to any one of the elders here, Christian friend with you. I make myself available to speak to you after the meeting. But you know you need the Lord. You need the Lord. Heavenly Father, take Thy Word, write it upon hearts, we pray. Lord, as Thy people, each one bowed in Thy presence who knows and loves Thee, we thank Thee, Lord, for the day of our salvation. Thank Thee, Lord, You've plucked us as brands from the burning. We can testify tonight that Jesus Christ has not only saved us, but He satisfies. Lord, we're so blessed. We have everything in Christ. But Lord, our hearts are taken up tonight in consideration with those who do not know and love Thee. And we pray for them. We pray for their eternal good, that Thou wilt speak to them. Grant the gifts of faith and repentance, that they may turn from sin and call upon the name of the Lord. Separate us now in Thy fear, with Thy favor. Bless us as we partake of the good things provided in the supper time. Hallow our time with a sense of Thy presence. And grant that in our going out and in our coming in, we will be kept under the shadow and the shelter of the Almighty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.